We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke this morning. Let's get to business first. Luke chapter 19. Sometimes, you know, the music is not usually choreographed. Tuesday night, as we sat in the living room in the darkness, my wife said, "I have to sing on Sunday. What should I sing?" And I said, "You should sing that song, Small As I Am." And she said, "Well, usually it doesn't go quite that. Usually there's days of debate over this." And I said, "Because I'm preaching on Zacchaeus." And she said, "Oh, okay, yeah." don't forget to vote on Tuesday. Pastor Rick was supposed to remind you. Keep in mind, he was from the Navy, so give him a break. He was owed that from a while ago, so. Now, this is dangerous territory for me, because I don't, that was my wife. That's why I pat her on the head. She has heels on that are that tall. So I live with a short person, actually two of them. And she can stick up for herself. You don't have to defend her. Trust me, she knows where my shins are at. She can kick me in the shins when she needs to. So I'm preaching about Zacchaeus. If you're short, don't be offended at me, okay? Because there might be a couple of short jokes, but I that's okay with me. All right, yeah, okay? So you balanced it too, all right? You have to have a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor. He made the cat's favorite food fish, which lives in water that they hate. And I'm sorry, but that's funny. That's just funny. He made it, not me. All right, Luke chapter 19. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. I'm sorry, did not tell you the chapter. Fooling around up here. All right, let's read it. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." So we'll pray. The message this morning, I titled it, "Up a Tree." So we'll pray and then the message. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you truly do love us, Lord. No matter how mighty or great or big or small, whatever, Lord, you love all people equally. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us this morning to see this story of Zacchaeus in a new light. I know it's familiar, and I pray that you help us to just have our spiritual eyes open this morning. We pray for Pastor as he's away. We pray that you bless him, Lord. Give him time of comfort, Lord, rest. And Lord, we pray that as he preaches on Wednesday night, that you would just fill him with your power, Lord, as he preaches to preachers. And I pray that you just bless him in a great way there. Pray that you would just be with us this morning, Lord. You should speak to each one of us individually. I pray that you would just use your Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, to draw us closer to you. I pray, Lord, that you would just fill me with your power, Lord, that you would just give me the words to say. And we'll praise you and thank you for what you do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, this is a very familiar story, probably a lot because there's a song that goes with this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. No, I do not sing. That's relegate it to my wife. Most of us know that song, are familiar with that song. If you're not, it's okay. But, you know, it's very familiar to us. It's interesting because it's only found in the Gospel of Luke. God used four human authors for the Gospels. They each wrote a different Gospel, and each one is written from a different perspective. And sometimes people see that and they say, well, you know, everything doesn't exactly go 100% together. There are differences between the Gospels and telling the same story. But to me, that's very normal. If four of us were to go down to Baltimore to watch a baseball game, we would come back probably with different stories. Similar stories, certainly about some of the same things, but the stories would be different. I mean, I would, first of all, tell you about Boog's Barbecue. You know, is that the name, Boog's, right? The barbecue place, you know, the hot dogs, you know, what they had on different places, how close we were to the concessions, because that's important to me. Yeah. You know, I mean, I could probably tell you about the game, you know, the drive down there, you know, we went around 695, and man, them people are crazy. You can drive 100 miles an hour, and you still got people passing you. I might tell you things like that. Somebody else might really love baseball, and they might tell you about the drive. They might tell you about some of the food, but what they would focus on would be the game and some of the strategy that goes on in the game and some of the different plays and things like that. And, you know, they could tell you the score. Or they could give you a lot more detail about the game itself than I ever could because I don't care that much. Somebody else, you know, might talk about the different people that are there. You know, there would be a lot of similarities, but there would be a lot of differences too. Even though everybody went in the same car to the same place to witness the same exact event, and it would just have different stories. And it doesn't mean that one's inaccurate or one's false. It all works together to give you a greater picture of the whole entirety. Also, if you're going to give a report about your trip to the baseball game to a group of coaches, you might give that differently than if you're to give it to a bunch of people who are interested in eating. Again, right? I mean, you're going to tailor your message to your audience. I'm not going to tell a bunch of coaches of baseball about, you know, the barbecue. They don't care about that. They care about the game. They care about the professional coaches and who can do it best. And so we have that in the Gospels. We have different people with different perspectives, different histories, different upbringings who are telling the same story about the same person to different audiences. And so even though there are differences, they're all telling the same story. So those differences aren't a bad thing. They're actually a good thing. They give us a lot of detail and a lot of a more fuller picture of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Matthew, Mark, and Luke are all very similar. They're called synoptics, which I think means similar or something like that. John has a lot of unique content. They taught me that in Bible college, but I don't remember. John has a lot of unique content, and some people, you know, they see these differences, and they see that, you know, all these are inaccuracies. They're not. They're just four different men giving us this complete picture, or as complete as we need picture of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. John finishes his gospel in this way. In John 21:25, he says, There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So we're not learning everything there is to know about Jesus. John says, if we wrote everything down, now, I don't know that that's necessarily to be literal, but the world itself could not contain the books that could be written. There are a lot more things that Jesus did than what we read about. So Luke is the only one who gives us this account, and Luke is a physician. His gospel is written from the perspective of Jesus being the perfect man. So in Luke, we see Jesus, the perfect man. He's historical. He's more of a journalistic kind of approach, a thorough account of the episodes in Jesus' life, arranged mostly in chronological order. There's a couple places where it goes out of line. And he's the only one who gives us this account of Jesus. Again, if we didn't have the four Gospels, we wouldn't know about this. We wouldn't have the cool song. He's heading to Jerusalem. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem for the last days of his life. Just before he encounters Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus encounters the Lord, he's healed the blind man. We know his name is Bartimaeus because of Mark. In that case, the blind man heard that Jesus was passing by, and he was sitting by the roadside. He heard Jesus was passing by, and he started yelling out to Jesus, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And everybody around him said, "Shut up. Shut up." And he just cried the more and the more. And Jesus went over and he healed, restored the sight of the blind man with just a word. This is the man, Jesus, who Zacchaeus is wanting to see. You know, the man who could restore the sight of the blind with just a word. The man who turned water into wine. The man who healed lepers. The man who commanded the wind and the waves. The man who commanded demons and devils to come out of people and they obeyed. This man who could transform lives is who Jesus, who Zacchaeus was going to see. He healed hands that were withered and dead back into living and vibrant ones. He healed leprosy. People were so desperate to get their loved ones to Jesus that they broke the roofs off of houses to lower their loved ones in. Rich rulers went to him. Roman soldiers, centurions went to him for help with their servants. You know, by now the fame of Jesus is known. I mean, it is very well known, and his power is well known, and how he's able to do what no other man can do is very well known. And so Zacchaeus, in verse 3, sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. I guess I would too. If I were somewhere in Jerusalem or Jericho and Jesus was in town, hey, I'd want to go see him too. Certainly. He wanted to see who it was, but he had a problem. A little problem. The dads laughed. There were so many people lining the way that my daughter doesn't like it when I do this, but sometimes I say, "Hey, make way. There's short people back here. They need to get to the front." This is not accurate because it wasn't like this, but I always picture the metal barricades. You know, you have a parade, 4th of July parade or Memorial Day parade, and they have the metal barricades up, and, you know, there's people right up against it, and, you know, if you get there early, you're right up against the metal barricade, and all the tall people get there early, and, you know, as you get there later and later, you get further and further back until you really do have to tippy-toe to see what's going on. And it wasn't quite like that because I don't think they had police barricading the streets. Jesus was just walking through. But I kind of picture Zacchaeus there behind three or four deep people, and he can't see. But short people often find a way around that problem. I was one day looking for tongs in our kitchen 4 or 5 years ago. Have a long pair of tongs, and I couldn't find them. I had to get something out of a pan or something, and I just couldn't find them. They're in the basement next to the washing machine because it's deep. We had a friend who got married, and on their wedding list was a stepping stool because they were all so short. I told my wife, "We got to get them this because that's just funny. We have to buy this for them." We did. you know, I'm sorry. I always get asked at Walmart, "Hon, can you get that for me on the top shelf, please?" Okay. He found a way, right? He anticipated where the Lord would be going. He didn't let that stop him. He didn't let his short stature stop him. He didn't just shrug his shoulders and say, "Oh well, I'm out of here." He wanted to see who the Lord was. So he anticipated where the Lord was going to be going. He climbed up a tree and he waited there until he could get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus. So this morning, we're going to use this man, Zacchaeus, and we're going to look closely, a lot more closely, at the faith of Zacchaeus and his obedience, and then what his reaction was to the Lord and the Lord's reaction to him. So first we see the faith of Zacchaeus. We don't read of it. We don't have any reason to believe that Zacchaeus had seen any of the miracles that Jesus had done. Certainly he's trying to look at him. If he had seen him before, he probably would be less inclined to be looking for him. He just wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus. So Zacchaeus had not seen the miracles. He had only heard of them. He had only heard of the miracles. And that's the very definition of faith, right? Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can see it, you don't have to have faith in it. It's right in front of you. Faith is proof, or is evidence of things not seen. It has to be something that you haven't seen. In fact, Jesus, after his resurrection, he said to Thomas, he said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's the very definition of faith, is that the fact that he heard about the miracles, he heard about the things that had happened, and he believed. He wanted to see who this man was who could perform these miracles. He wanted to see it for himself. Those miracles live on today, lives transformed by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And people today will even come to try to get a glimpse of Christ, not with literal eyes, but with spiritual eyes, to see what he's doing today. And he didn't let things stop him. I mean, how easy would it have been for this man to simply give up? Well, woe is me. You know, we're told a lot of things about Zacchaeus besides the fact that he was short in stature. We're told that he's a publican, the chief of the publicans. Publicans were basically tax collectors, although they had some other contracting type duties, but they were primarily tax collectors. Rome had roads, and those roads had to be built. They had to be paid for, just like we pay for them today. It was nice when they suspended the gas tax. Man, we pay a lot of money in tax on gas. Rome, you know, those roads have to be paid for and built. And so the publicans would often handle those responsibilities. He wasn't just a publican. He was the chief of the publicans. He was the comptroller. Right? The chief thief. That's not a rap. Vote on Tuesday, okay? We also know he was corrupt. In verse 8, he speaks of restoring fourfold to any man he took from corruptly. He said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. When we moved to Maryland in the late 90s from Georgia, after I got out of the Army, we lived in Georgia for a while. We moved back to Maryland after Nathan was born. And it was later in the year. I want to say it was September or October. I got a job at London Fog. And when tax time came, the state of Maryland sent me a letter. William Donald Schaefer sent me a letter from the comptroller of Maryland that said that I owed more taxes than I owed because they took my full year salary as having lived in Maryland. So I wrote Willie Don and I addressed it, Dear Willie Don, you thief. I wasn't living for the Lord at the time. You thief. And I just went on, and I don't owe this money. I wasn't a full year resident. Now, they didn't restore to me fourfold what they wanted to take from me. Guilty until proven innocent. But he was corrupt. He was doing things incorrectly. We know that because he said he was going to restore whatever he took from people fourfold. Well, why is all that important? Well, I mean, not only is he short in stature, but nobody's going to have pity on this man. Nobody's going to say, "Oh yeah, man, you're shorter than I am. You know, I'm standing in front of you, this big guy, and I'm going to let you up here. Get out of here." Thief, you know, nobody's going to have any kind of sympathy. They're going to look down, yeah, why don't you buy your way to the front, pal? You know, people don't tend to be nice to those who extort money from them, you know. And I don't think it's a stretch to think people actively tried to put him away. Get behind me. You know, just out of spite, people don't tend to be nice. But he was determined. Didn't faze Zacchaeus at all. He wanted to see this man. He wanted to see Jesus. He had to see him. So he ran ahead to where the Lord might go. And just to be sure, I mean, he didn't want to get up, you know, to the front of the barricade just to be pushed away again. He got himself up in a sycamore tree. He climbed up a tree. Now think about it for a minute. That took some humility. This is a rich, powerful man. Probably in very fine garments. I mean, wearing a suit, a nice suit, a custom tailored suit. He probably had all kinds of jewelry on. People didn't tend to put their money in banks. They wear their money, their gold rings, gold necklaces, and things like that. I mean, this man who's wealthy, he's powerful, is climbing up a tree like a kid. That takes some humility. He was the chief of the publicans. He had people working for him. And he's scurrying up the tree like a little chipmunk. He didn't seem to care about, I mean, I can't imagine there weren't kids there. Like, look at little Zacchaeus. I mean, kids are horrible. Not me. He didn't care. He just wanted to see Jesus. So, listen, you're not here by accident, right? I mean, this all has meaning to us. We're not here by, who is this Jesus? We have an English expression. You're up a tree. Means you're in trouble, right? You're in trouble. You're up a tree. We're all born in sin. We're all corrupt. I mean, it's easy to think about Zacchaeus, the comptroller, the chief tax thief. But I'm guilty too. We're all born. We're all up a tree. We may not be tax collectors like Zacchaeus. We probably aren't rich. But we all share something with him. We're all suffering from the corruption of sin. You see so many illustrations of this in the Bible. You see people thirsting. You see blindness. You see suffering from incurable diseases, leprosy. You see withered hands. You see storms of life. Storms, right? I mean, that's all on our mind right now. Even death. But if we could only get a glimpse of the Savior, he's able to clear, to heal, and cure all of those things. We're in trouble. We're up a tree. We have this thing over us called death, but Jesus can fix all that. This is not just an ordinary man. No, this man is special. He's different. He's perfect. What does that mean for us who are saved? Well, what's it going to take to stop you from getting to Jesus? Because some people will just like, well, you know, gas is high. The price of gas is high. So, you know, I can't go to church. Some people show up in church and they want to be here, but they don't really want to be here. They're in the crowd. And they're content to be back here in the crowd. And they're content to have all of that perfect, that perfection of Christ. They're perfectly happy to be back here and, oh yeah, there he is. They're perfectly content. Too many people, you know, come to church and they say, well, I just don't get anything anymore. you know, I just don't get anything from the preaching anymore. Well, the Lord said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus is here. There's more than two or three of us here. He's passing by. Do you want to see him? I mean, do you want to see him, or are you, he's there somewhere. I don't know. Now you go looking for him. You go looking for him. You come to service. You come expecting something. You come in anticipation of seeing Jesus. You do the work. You climb the tree. I used the illustration of a baseball game before. You know, I imagine if you go to a baseball game, And your attitude is, man, this is, you know, I'm going to go see the Orioles, and this is like the worst thing ever. I don't even know why we're going. The Orioles are horrible, although I guess they're not this year. You know, like, guys, when you take your wife to the baseball game, that's, right, that's her. Like, I don't know. I guess we'll go. I guess it'll be okay. Whatever. Well, do you think you're going to have a good time? No. You think you're going to have any great stories to tell afterwards? No. You go and something thrilling happens and you're like, oh, that was so much fun. But if it's just a normal baseball game, which most are, well, I don't see what the big deal is. I just don't get anything from going there anymore. But if you go and you think, man, this is going to be great, even if it's not a great game, at least I'm going to be outside in the fresh air for a while. You know, I'm going to see the green grass and the clean dirt that they have on the field there. I mean, there's so much to see and do here. No matter what goes on the field, I'm going to have a good time and there's going to be something great. That person is going to come back and they're going to say, man, even if the team lost by 10 runs, they're going to come back and be like, man, that was great. It was fun. They lost, but there were a couple of good plays, and I got to eat, and I got to see some people and spend some time with my friends, my family. You know, too many people go to church with the attitude like, let's stand up and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. I mean, literally, it dumbfounds me. I don't know how you do that. I mean, I'm a horrible singer. I am an absolutely horrible singer. You might notice I don't use a hymn book very often because I know just about all the words to just about all the songs to just about all verses. So when he tries to put in verse 3 and try to mess me up, it doesn't work very often. And if it does, I just fake it at that point. I mean, I love music, I love singing, I love the songs, I love the doctrine that's in songs. The songs in our hymn books are like lesson plans to the Bible. Sit up in the front, we won't hear you. You can hear me, you can make fun of me. I mean, too many people go to the church with the attitude, well, if something happens, you know, something thrilling happens, then you remember it. But I'm just not getting anything from this. If you're not getting anything from the service, you're not putting anything into it. You know, sometimes you got to go look for it. You got to run ahead. You got to climb the tree, and you got to wait in anticipation that, man, God's going to speak to my heart today. It's going to be the choir song. It's going to be one of the hymns. It's going to be the preaching. It's going to be something, but God is going to speak to me today. I am going to see him no matter what. That's what Zacchaeus did, right? Zacchaeus, I don't care if I'm short. I don't care if all the kids are making fun of me. I don't care if everybody here hates me because I'm a thieving tax collector. I am going to see this man, Jesus. It took faith on Zacchaeus' part to see him, and he was rewarded. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look, if you're looking for God, he is not going to go the other direction. I mean, he is a rewarder of them that, that word, diligently seek him. You might have to climb the tree. You might not just be able to show up, plop yourself down in the seat. You might have to put some, it might take some diligence on your parts. And he rewards them that diligently seek them. Those that run ahead, prepare, that climb the tree, that do what it takes, God's going to give you a glimpse. That's Zacchaeus' faith, his obedience. He's up there in the tree. You know, I mean, I don't know. People just are mean. Look at that guy up in the tree. Look at that grown man. I mean, he's a chief publican. I would assume he's older. I don't know that, but I would not think that's a position for a 20-year-old. See a 20-year-old up the tree? you know, whatever. You see an older guy up in the tree? You see me up in a tree? First you say, oh, the poor tree. He said, what's that old guy doing up in the tree? He's out of his mind. I imagine there's kids laughing at him. Look, there's that rich guy. He's up in the tree because he's so short he can't see. That's the way people are, isn't it? But he didn't care. His effort was worth it. He got his glimpse of the Savior, this man from Galilee. And then something absolutely unexpected and amazing happened. As Jesus walked by and Zacchaeus is up in the tree, the Lord looked up. He looked up and he said, two never met. He looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Wow. Wasn't expecting that. He just wanted to get a glimpse. And when he got the glimpse, he got the glimpse back. And then he got called by name. All he was doing was seeking the Savior. Can it really be that simple? Can it really be that simple? If you look for him, he finds you? Even up in a tree? They never met before. I mean, Zacchaeus had never met. He's just trying to get a glimpse of the Savior. And Jesus knows his name. Guess what? He knows your name. He knows where you're at. Up in a tree, sleeping in church, at home. I'm going to stop. He knows the tree that you're up. He knows exactly when and where to look. You don't have to worry about the multitude of people that, you know, are trying to block you out. The Lord Jesus knows right where you are. He knows what you need, and he'll meet you right there. There was, in the Old Testament, there was a Syrian general who had leprosy. It was eating away at his flesh. He was going to die. His name was Naaman. He went to the prophet in Israel, Elisha. He went to the door, knocked on the door. Elisha said to his servant, hey, Naaman's there. Tell him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times and he'll be cleaned. Totally disrespectful. This prophet's not even going to come. I'm a general. I am the general of the Syrian army, and that prophet's not even going to come out to meet me? He was mad. He just sent some servant out to greet me and to give me these instructions. Why should I go wash in the Jordan? The Jordan's like, it ain't the Mississippi. I mean, it's like a creek. It's a very small little river. And then you send this servant out to tell me this? This is a joke. And Naaman got mad. He stormed away. He'd been disrespected. Prophet doesn't even come out to meet me. This is a big waste of time. The Syrians have bigger rivers, way better rivers than the Jordan. The Bible says he went away in a rage. I could see Zacchaeus doing that. Man, I want to see Jesus, but I can't. I'm out of here. Then one of Naaman's servants said to him, well, if he'd have told you to do some big thing, if he'd have told you to, you know, do 7 sacraments, if he would have told you to you know, follow these rules, if he would have told you some big thing to do, wouldn't you do it? The girl said, yeah, I guess so. The lowly servant said, well, hey, big general, why don't you just go wash in the river? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. So Naaman humbled himself, went over to the puny, microscopic Jordan River, washed 7 times as he was instructed, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. Man, if you ladies could get to Elisha's house, right? And he was clean. 2 Kings chapter 5, if you want to read it later. Naaman went, it's just that simple. It's not complicated. It's man that wants to complicate it. We're looking for all these requirements. All you have to do is look and live. There's a song, Look and Live. My brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. Zacchaeus humbled himself. He did exactly what he needed to do to get a glimpse of Jesus, and it was just that simple. In verse 5, Jesus said unto him, Zacchaeus, hurry up, make haste, get down here, for today I must abide at thy house. He did. We're looking at his obedience. He listened to the Lord. He came down. He went to his house. He ate with him. They had fellowship. You can read it here. There's more people murmuring and complaining about Zacchaeus and you know, this man. They're murmuring about Zacchaeus. They're murmuring about Jesus. They're murmuring. Doesn't affect any of them. I don't care what you say. I'm with Jesus. You know, the Bible is very clear about what one must do to be saved. You must be born again. It's not in religion. It's not some big ritual, some ordinances, some sacraments, some 12-step program. You know, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus was on his way to the cross when this happened. He died. He did that so you don't have to. He was the perfect sacrifice, the substitute for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's just that simple. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Zacchaeus is like, man, I gotta see this guy. This is amazing, the things that he does. Nobody could do this. This is impossible. He climbed up a tree. The Lord looked at him. He was saved. Then you have to be obedient. Knowledge and faith are not the same. It's not enough to know about Jesus and what he's done. Zacchaeus knew. Well, he had to see. He had to put feet to it, right? He used his literal eyes, but we see through eyes of faith. Whosoever believeth, not knoweth, right? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, not whosoever knoweth about him. A lot of people know about Jesus, but they don't know him. They've never, through eyes of faith, looked at him as the Savior. This is why I think some people that are saved are lost in the crowd. Rather than climbing the tree and looking for the Lord, they're afraid he's going to look back. And they're afraid he's going to say, come down, I got to go spend the day at your house. I have something for you to do. I'm here. He ain't going to see me. He ain't calling me to the house. I know that because when we were on deputation as missionaries, I think just about every church we went to, somebody came and confessed to me. I think God called me to be a missionary, but I never did it. They were good in that they usually gave us money to go to the field, but I would much rather they were on the field themselves. Look at Zacchaeus. He had to get out of the tree. He had to go make supper for the Lord. That cost him something. He had to go serve the Lord. It probably would have been better just to stay anonymous in the multitude. Just keep your head down. Even if he looks my way, I won't even know it. Oh, no, I think it was much better that Zacchaeus was looking for the Lord. And when the Lord called him, he said, here am I. It's the faith of Zacchaeus mixed with the obedience of Zacchaeus that then leads to the response of Zacchaeus. This man, this short man, Zacchaeus, gets called by the Lord. He goes to his house. The Lord goes to his house. Crowd still gossiping about him. He doesn't care. The Lord's there. That solves a lot of problems. And spending time with the Lord, his response is exactly what his response should be. Look at verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Now, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He said, Lord, I've wronged some people, and I'm going to make it right with them. And he did this. He's a rich, powerful man. He shows up at your door one day. If Willie Don ever showed up at my door and said, hey, here's four times what we tried to take from you. I'd be like, well, good. Why? Wouldn't you? I mean, the man's going to go restore not just what he took, but four times. First thing you're going to ask is why? If you're sane, what made this happen? Why this change? And it would open the door for him to be able to say, well, I met this man, Jesus. I heard about him. I was kind of looking for him. Man, he looked at me. And he saved me. His works are not saving him. He is doing this because he is already saved. Right? He's joyful. In verse 6, we see that there's joy. He came, he made haste, he came down and received him joyfully. You want to restore joy in your life? Spend time with the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. When he looks at you, obey. When he speaks to you, obey. The wicked do not know peace. There's no real joy there. Zacchaeus now knows joy. And my friends, you can know that too. It was immediate. I mean, he didn't hesitate. It wasn't a process. It wasn't a 6-week program, a 12-week program, a 6-month program, a year long, 2 years before you can do this. You have to be a certain age. You have to meet these requirements. No. Just look to the Lord. And the Lord commanded that it would be with, and the Lord responded then to Zacchaeus. And he said, well, yeah, Zacchaeus, that's why I'm here. I'm not here to impress you with my power. I'm not here to prove to you that I can heal people. I'm here to die for you. If you're unsaved and you're unsure of heaven, you can be certain. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus, putting your faith and trust in him and the fact that he died for your sins, that he was buried and that he rose again to prove that he was God, that sacrifice was acceptable. And you just get up the tree, look for him, and he'll save you. You don't actually have to climb a tree. Hallelujah. They're all knocked down now. Zacchaeus was looking. He was looking in faith, and he saw the Lord, and the Lord saw him. Look, it took some effort. He had to be prepared. He had to humble himself. But man, when he did, the results were amazing. It wasn't just that he got to see the Lord, but the Lord called him by name, went to his house, fellowship was restored. He got to spend time with the Lord. You know, that's what happens when you get saved. When you put your faith and trust in the Lord, you are no longer an enemy of God. You are now friends with God. That relationship is fixed, and the fellowship can begin. You know, I don't know what your spiritual condition is this morning. I don't know what made you come this morning. I don't doubt that there are some that are hiding behind the throng. I don't doubt that there are some up in the tree. The Lord knows exactly where you are. I am not here to judge you. I mean, you may be a lonely sinner up in a tree looking for a savior, looking for an answer. You may come here this morning saying, man, what in the world is going on in this world? There's got to be something better. I promise you, you are looking for the Lord. The Lord sees you no matter where you're at. He sees you there this morning. And right now, he's looking at you, and he's calling you even by name. He wants you to respond and see him and allow him to come into your life and your house and your heart and to save you. You may be here this morning, you may be saved, but you're lost in the crowd. I mean, you're here, but you're not here. Three rows deep at the parade route. I would invite you this morning to say, Lord, you know, I've been putting forth minimal effort. I've not been getting anything out of the sermons because I've not been putting anything into it. I'm just showing up. And I need to go ahead. I need to climb the tree. I need to put forth that diligence, that concerted effort that when I come to church, when I read my Bible, when I do anything, I'm going to look for the Lord and I'm going to have an anticipation of what God is going to do. I like the Soul Winners Club. I like Pastor Stainer. Go expecting God to do something. I just want to go get a glimpse of the Savior. My wife sang this song, you know, in God's eyes, we're all little. You think 6'7", 6'8", 7'6"? I'm not 6'7", I'm only 6. You think 7'6" is something to God? We're all small in God's eyes. We're all the same. I mean, I make fun of, you know, short people, but we make fun of Zacchaeus. He's a wee little man. But honestly, in God's eyes, we're nothing. They put that new telescope up in, what was it, the Webb telescope? Help me out here. I mean, they put that telescope up, and it just looks further and further out into space. You know what they find? More and more stuff. And it's all a whole lot bigger than I am. We're all little, but he loves me, even as small as I am. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, we thank you for the example of Zacchaeus, Lord. Thank you for the way you respond to his diligence in seeking you. And Lord, it's true, I don't know the needs of people this morning. Undoubtedly, there are people here this morning that are unsaved, and I pray that you would help them to see that all they need to do is not join this church, not put their faith and trust in religion, but simply look to you. And Lord, in doing so, and in following that from the Bible, and calling out to you, and seeking you, Lord, that you will save them. And Lord, I pray that you would just convict those hearts now. I pray for those that may be here this morning, and Lord, they just show up. They're just going through the motions. They're here, but they're lost in the crowd, and they just kind of shrug their shoulders. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to see, Lord, the importance, the vitalness of preparing for the service, preparing to meet with you, preparing before we read our Bible, of expecting and anticipating something from you each and every time that we're with you. Lord, I pray that you would just help those that may be struggling in that area, Lord, to just straighten those things out today, Lord. It's a simple thing. It's just a matter of preparation, of diligence. And Lord, you promise when we diligently seek you, we will find you. And Lord, I pray that there are those here this morning, I know there are some great people in this church, Lord, that I know come and look for a blessing from God every time. And I pray, Lord, that they would just continue to do so, Lord, that they would just continue to look for you, to be looking back, Lord, for that glance from you, and that, Lord, they would be obedient in whatever it is that you have them to do. Lord, I pray that you would just have your will, your way in our hearts this morning. I pray that this all in Christ's name.